Well, you made it. Yay! 2021 is over, and you're still standing. And you and I could probably say in unison, it's only by the grace of God. Boy, well, this is Truth Unbound. Thanks for being here with me. I'm Walter Swaim. And as every year, we try to look forward and prepare both for the best and the worst. I can remember 2017 starting with a strong beginning and then never realizing just in a few months later there would be Hurricane Harvey and it would flood my home and upend our life for months. But at the same time, we were able to see God do some miraculous things, our church motivated and literally served thousands during that period after that hurricane. And God just did some great things in our family and in our church life. 2020 started off strong, didn't it? And then all of a sudden, boom, in February, COVID hit. And then we saw riots after the death of George Floyd, and our world just seemed to explode. But I also remember that quiet times were longer. Relationships were gauged as being more important than ever before, and a stirring to walk in faith more strongly than ever before. So what does 2022 hold for us, especially for the believer, the follower of Jesus? We don't know, do we? Well, what I'm about to show you is in no way a crystal ball, but we have some strong hints on a few things, important things that are headed our way in 2022 based on the trends that began last year and even the year before, both in the secular and church cultures. They present some major challenges to you and me as Christians, and we need to prepare. Some of these are good, some of these are bad that I'm about to list, and the list is by in no way exhaustive either. And it's not in any certain order. In fact, you'll probably see some other things coming for sure that I don't see and can add to it. And I invite you to do so in the comment section or email me. But anyway, are you ready? Here it goes. The top six challenges for the Christian in 2022. Hey again, this is Truth Unbound. I'm Walter Swaim, and thank you so very much for being a part of this today. Hey, would you hit like on this podcast? And then also, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can hit subscribe so you can always get the latest news from us, the latest videos and more, and hit all notifications, the little bell on top. And then as well, just comment, share this with everyone you can. And follow us as well on the audio-only edition of this podcast. Well, let's get right to it. Number one, the believer will be challenged to hold a moral and ethical clarity in private and public more than ever before. You see, American and Western Christianity has long drifted into leading this kind of double life with one foot in the world and one in the church. But it has gone into overdrive now. As the church in general continues to teach therapeutic deism, as it's been called, or in other words, being a good person that believes in God, and not about walking in holiness before the Almighty God of the Bible. And a major reason for this is this one foot in one world, one in the other, is the increasing number of Christians and churches that are affirming what is really sexual deviance and confusion over true sexual identity in Christ, instead of standing firm for moral purity and lovingly helping people find their true identity in Christ and that they're made in the image of God. Another area of compromise that has also increased is that of the group of pro-choice Christians, pro-abortion Christians. Their thinking is, and I've had these conversations with them, they don't agree with abortion per se, but they believe in a woman's freedom to choose to keep or abort that baby that is in her womb. You see, this type of moral confusion, intentional or not, is hyper-alarming, should be, and destroys the love of Christ for others we are to have in or outside the womb. It's an affront to the holiness of God and the sacredness of the body and soul together in a person made in the image of God. You see, in short, the world just has not seen enough of a real distinction between us and the world, both in belief and lifestyle. Because like we do with our social media posts, we want to be liked, applauded, treated nicely, more than being Christians that stand firm on God's word and yet are also compassionate and loving. I think it's also a reaction to the Christian being pistol whipped by the world in the last recent years, because Well, you just refuse to be quiet. You need to just stay and keep it within the four walls and stop bothering everybody. And many believers, unfortunately, have been more than happy to oblige, so as to avoid any retaliation or rejection. Though political and legal solutions that maintain community and nationwide moral integrity in line with Judeo-Christian values our nation was founded upon is an important and needed area for the believer to throw their support behind and be engaged in. But what is more important than that is that we need to be louder, if you will, with a life that reflects Jesus more than words do. The world needs to see Jesus. And as my pastor many years ago used to say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. You know, Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 4 saying, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Secondly, there will be an increasing and widespread compromise on biblical doctrine. You see, the failure to live lives that are distinct and godly, and distinct from the world, and that show hope and point to Jesus is often the result of very weak Bible teaching. In the past, the church has dropped its guard, but it usually was in one area at a time, such as biblical inerrancy or prophecy, etc. But not now. It is open game season on sound doctrine on multiple fronts, and most of this is being done from within. The major areas where this has occurred and will increase are these. First is critical race theory and its close cousin, intersectionality. Whole denominations became swept up, and still are, in the explosion of what was already there quietly behind the scenes in the teaching of church leaders and seminaries, unashamedly creating a culture of division, shame, racism, and prejudice within countless churches. Big Eva leaders such as Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, and others like them have sadly led the way in this, as well as others such as Eric Mason, D.A. Horton, and more. There's too many to list. Another important area of biblical compromise that's going to increase, it's already there, is the historical biblical doctrine of pre-tribulational and pre-millennial teaching. It's being compromised with post and even amillennial thinking, thanks in large part to many of the prominent neo-reformed thinkers and preachers and teachers. Much biblical teaching, spiritualizing passages that were meant by their original authors to be taught literally will only increase. This is seen most of all in Genesis chapter 1 through 11, as false teachers in the area of the creation story, such as Hugh Ross and William Lane Craig, compromised the literal, historical, grammatical method of interpreting the Bible. It is a method even used by many of the authors of the Bible books between themselves, including Jesus. Scientism and evolutionism has now become the way to interpret the Bible, so it'll appear more sensible, intelligent, and in line with the world's philosophies and teaching. But it is degrading God's truth by the minute in an astounding way. Believers aren't taught now to be biblically critical thinkers. Most are resorting to first-page Google results, Google search results, and memes and catchy phrases by Big Eva teachers that I don't have the time or space here to list. You know, Peter warned of this happening from the very beginning, and it did start to happen in the early church. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." So let us be careful when we interpret the scriptures. Let us stay faithful and true to doctrinal integrity. Now, another area that will be challenging in 2022 and affect the church and the believer is that the death of cultural Christianity will continue to increase as well. Okay, so let me further explain this, because this isn't all bad, all right? COVID gave an emergency exit for many who for years participated in Christianity and churches due to cultural reasons, such as family or community acceptance and habit of going and being involved in churches, pleasing others, or the general comfortableness, the comfort they felt in the general values of Christianity or that Christianity provided. They had begun to exit slowly out the back door already for the last few years, but the distraction of the pandemic gave them a reason to run out, and they're not coming back. And now churches are having to reassess, reevaluate, reorganize, many closing or merging with others due to the devastating effect of this phenomena, because they were floated by this great group of cultural Christians. Now, a few of them, the cultural Christians, will continue to go to churches that are maybe smaller but closed to outsiders, or they will drift into larger churches. We see that happening already, because there they can just kind of be anonymous and just receive but not have to be very engaged and still continue that comfort that they felt to some degree. But the vast majority of them have gone on to spend, especially their Sunday mornings, in bed longer or in recreation or in nothing. The good news of this is it reveals more of the true church and should revive that remnant of faithful believers to wake up, to really get to the business of making solid disciples of Jesus and not just have a social calendar, even if they may be fewer in number. Of course, every effort should be made to reach out to those who have left and love them and encourage them to follow Jesus and not the culture of before, cultural Christianity of before. Yet John himself, the apostle, said this when a similar shift occurred for other reasons in the early church. In 1 John chapter 2, he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." Another area of challenge in 2022 for the believer is that political and corporate opposition and repression to Christian and conservative values and action will increase. You see, the pandemic empowered those governments, from federal down to local, that already were predisposed to a far left authoritarian type of thinking and governing. This was the moment they had been waiting for. And even with COVID now seeming to level off to being as common as the flu, they're losing that power. And so they're seeking any way possible to continue and hold and control the masses to the way they want them to live and behave, and to be punished for it if they are non-compliant. And of course, believers are in the way many times. Now, of course, they do this out of safety and love for our neighbor. Yeah, right. But again, just as was done by many of the Roman emperors in the first century church with the first followers of Jesus, they are being framed to be seen as enemies of the state and of the well-being of the rest of the population. So they convince the rest of those who are not believers to turn against them. Now, this will continue, even though we're seeing some pushback, even down to local school board levels. But there will be a challenge to the believer to hold on to their convictions and to do this for themselves, for their family, and to know wisely when to obey the civic authorities and when it gets to a point of choosing between God or man. Paul wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, saying, "First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanks be offered on behalf of all people, even for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Such prayer for all is good and welcomed before God our Savior, since He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." You see, the point of praying for our secular civic leaders is that the gospel, he says here, is the point is that the gospel may have freedom to be proclaimed and heard and received and openly practiced. But Jesus said even in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness," remember that, "for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things about you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way." You see, I used to think that resistance to government was to be, and to being persecuted, was only when the government oppresses you and tries to keep you from just sharing the gospel. But Jesus clarifies it isn't just that. It's also for living righteously as he wants us to in the culture. So let us be wise for what we stand for, how we stand for it, and why we stand for it, and when we need to stand for righteousness. The next major challenge for the believer in 2022 is that the level of doubt in order to exit the faith will exponentially increase. Deconstruction is the operative word here. Now, what they mean by deconstruction is this, is that they start to doubt, but then it goes a whole another level where they begin to deconstruct or take apart and examine each and every tiny piece with the intention of not wanting to believe anymore. And so this will increase in 2022. Ex-evangelicals and deconstructionists, as they like to be called, not only have decided to deny the faith, but are evangelistic in their fervor now through podcasts and social media and such to lead others to leave the faith with them as well. In other words, they're uncertain, so they want to lead you on into their uncertainty. Another in the middle, kind of middle of the road approach here is what is called progressive Christianity. And I invite you to see my podcast or listen to my podcast on that as well. And progressive Christianity is this kind of mix, mishmash of beliefs that do not reflect basic biblical Christianity and doctrine and practice at all, but they still want to be called Christian. It's just a Christianity of their own making, and it's kind of sexy, if you will, or it's kind of hipster, and so it's cool and it's acceptable. Well, that's not what we're supposed to be a part of as believers. Now, a good example of this is old earth creationism. And then the belief on top of that, that Adam and Eve came from previously existing ancestors, such as Neanderthals and such. In other words, if there was death before sin, such as old earth creationism teaches, then there is no need for redemption or a savior. It's like telling someone, if you're witnessing to them, hey, you need to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus, but even I don't fully believe in all the Bible myself. Yeah, that's attractive and gut-wrenching, isn't it? It just pulls you in. Yeah, not really. Jude said this, talked about this struggle, those who struggle with their faith in Jesus and the Bible, and how the other believers around them should respond and react and be of help. In Jude verses 22 and 23, he said, "And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives." We need to listen to those who have questions and take the time to study God's word with them, leading them to sound biblical doctrine and truth. I mean, we've all had our own doubts as well and studied and looked into it and rested in what God says. Apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith, it's what we do here at Truth Unbound, is now more than ever an essential practice and method in the local church. Here at Truth Unbound, we're also available to help with that. So contact me at info@truthunbound.org. Now, the next area that is a great area to be challenged in as believers is that the need of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others and to make disciples who will make disciples of Jesus will need to be the highest priority at the local church level and the individual Christian level more than ever before. The command by Jesus as revealed in the Gospels to us, especially as recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It continues to be our marching orders and needs to be our highest passion. In 2022 and beyond, the numbers of those who have no connection ever to Jesus or Christianity or a church really presents a wide open door for us to share Jesus with everyone we can, inviting them to respond to his call to follow him and to receive his forgiveness and eternal life by repenting and putting their faith in him. This must be our main focus and priority over everything. Well, as I said, this is not an exhaustive list, but this is enough to see that we have a lot to do, believer. We can't be asleep at the switch. As Paul described in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, he said, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Well, we at Truth Unbound will be here to do this together with you for the glory of God and the salvation of many. I encourage you, please, to like this video, this podcast, and to share it with others. Subscribe, hit all notifications if you're seeing this on YouTube, and just again, share it with everyone you can. Well, thank you again for being a part of this conversation with me today. And remember, you need to follow Jesus, because when you follow Jesus, you'll always follow the truth.